Welcome back. You're listening to Good Vibrations Radio on Radio Monterey.
And this is Solazar. I want to thank you for coming back to Good Vibrations Radio right here on Radio Monterey. I hope you've taken a look at some of our other shows and hosts and information that we provide so that you can actually get a good sense of what's going on in the metaphysical world and what's going on with the energy that we're facing right now. Now, you know, this, of course, is October. It's the first day of October. For those of you who have a mortgage payment or a rent payment due, it's due. So here we are. But October is a powerful month about clarity and wisdom. So as we journey through the year, we've just come out of a month that's about limitless possibilities, about everything being available to us. Every possibility, every option in the catalog of the universe is there for us. And now we're going into this month of clarity and wisdom. So what that's really saying is get pretty darn clear on what it is you want from that catalog of the universe. You should have spent last month thinking about that, trying to get clear. And we're going to go into November, which is also about limitless possibilities and potential, about magic and miracles. So we've bookended our clarity and wisdom with 2 months that pretty much say everything is available for you. And you know what else is available for you? The ability to have better connections, better relationships, and better communication. Because coming up right now on Good Vibrations Radio is Dr. Arnie Buss. Now, he received his undergraduate degree in psychology at Rutgers University, a PhD from Cornell, and he's been teaching at the undergraduate and graduate level for over 30 years. He's also been teaching and facilitating interpersonal communication classes for the past 6 years, and he facilitates individuals and couples with their interpersonal communication issues and has given presentations on interpersonal communication skills to a number of organizations in the Monterey area. In 2011, he was a semifinalist in the Toastmasters World Championship of Public Speaking, and most recently, at his area level, he was the champion for evaluation and humorous speech contest. This man is definitely not a slacker. Now, Dr. Buss joins us with his segment, Speaking of Listening, on the first and third Thursdays of every month. So let's listen to Dr. Arnie Buss and Speaking of Listening.
Well, thank you, Solazar, and welcome to Speaking of Listening on Good Vibrations Radio. I'm your host, Arnie Buss, as Solazar mentioned. And Speaking of Listening is all about ways of improving your relationships by listening and communicating from your heart. And I will be giving some upcoming workshops. I haven't set the dates yet, but they will hopefully be in October and November. So watch this space. If you want more information, you can email me at ahbuss, that's A-H-B-U-S-S, at consciousawareheart.com. That's all one word, consciousawareheart. ahbuss at consciousawareheart.com. Now, remember that listening is not just about hearing what the other person is saying. It's about engaging the other person in a dialogue, a dance, if you will. And as I like to say, that Ginger Rogers used to say that she did everything Fred Astaire did, only she had to do it backwards and in high heels. So it is with heart-centered listening, maybe except for the heels part. Heels just always kill my feet, so I try to avoid them whenever possible. So last time, we talked about how to set a limit, in other words, how to say no with love. And I talked about two approaches that are based upon this tracking that I've been talking about. One was the 1-2, where you track first and then set a limit. And then there was the 1-2-3-4, where you track and set a limit and then track some more and then set another and then restate the limit. So that's very valuable. And in upcoming segments, I'm going to explore that a little further. But today, I am going to talk about some dimensions that are a little more fundamental. I'm going to talk about the attitude of the skills and uh, the various skills, including tracking. I like to call skills because, like any other skill, they can be improved with the right kind of practice. Unfortunately, the kind of practice that we usually have when we're interacting with others reinforces some, let's just say, less effective ways of interacting. So I'm going to talk about some attitudes that are stumbling stones, attitudes that block effective communication. And I break these down into three categories, and I'll explore those. And then I'm going to talk about attitudes that enhance effective communication. And there are two dimensions of those. One has to do with the attitude towards oneself, and the other has to do with the attitude towards others. And it turns out that they're actually intimately related. And if there's time permitting, I want to apply all of this to how you can help another person resolve an issue. And as we'll see with some of the attitudes that block effective communication, a lot of the things that we tend to do or that we learn how to do turn out to be counterproductive. So I want to talk about that first, the attitude of the skills. And that's perhaps the single most important element that determines the outcome of a particular interaction is the attitude. I like the phrase, attitude is everything. So I think given the choice between a loving attitude and but maybe less than effective words versus having effective words but not such a loving attitude, the first one with the loving attitude to me usually is a determinant of the outcome being much better. When I teach this and when I talk here, a lot of times I'll focus on just, okay, here's some more effective ways of saying and responding in certain ways, and here are some less effective ways. And all of that is important, and yet in the heat of the moment, we can't always say things perfectly. I remember when I was first learning the tracking skill, and when I was having a disagreement with my wife, and she would I would sometimes be less than skillful in my response, and she would say something like, "You call that tracking?" And it would just drive me up a wall, and then I'd go completely unconscious, and things would just kind of go downhill from there. And the attitudes that I'm going to talk about have taught me that it was my attitude that was the problem. It wasn't anything that she was saying, and it wasn't the fact that my tracking was less than perfectly skillful. It had to do with the attitude that I have. So there are kind of three basic broad categories for ineffective attitudes or attitudes that block communication. And those have to do with fixing the other person. The second category is moralizing, and the third is being one up on the other person. So here are some things that indicate an attitude of fixing, and really these first three are the one of the deadly threes, and those are to give advice, offer suggestions, and give solutions. To give advice, suggestions, and solutions, and in fact the first letter of those are ASS, so I like to call those the pains in the ass. And the thing is that the intent may be very noble. You see exactly what the other person should do. In fact, it's so easy to see what others can do. It's usually more challenging to see what we need to do. But when we offer advice and suggestions, and all of this is in a problem area, if we're just kind of talking, then it's not such a big deal. But in a problem area, if somebody comes with a problem, then and you say, well, here's what I think you should do, or here's what works for me, or the best way to handle that is to think of what the underlying message, the meta message of that is. You're just too stupid to know what to do. So think about that. Even though your intention may be very good, the underlying message is, well, what's the matter with you? Now, the second way you can try to fix someone is to teach them, to lecture, to argue with them. Let me tell you about the best way to do this, it's well known that in such situations, this is the thing to do. Or, you know, you want to do that? Are you kidding? Are you out of your mind? So the message is that when you're giving information instead of validating the other person, is that they're really too ignorant to know what to do. Remember, ignorance isn't the same as stupidity. Ignorance just means that they don't have the facts, and you're going to give them the facts and straighten them out. And the final category of fixing is to warn, threaten, or admonish. If you do that, then you know you're going to get punished, or you'd better not do that. And the message of that is, because you're basically acting like a parent to them, the message you're sending them is they're too immature to understand the consequences of what they're saying. So to fix is to block effective communication, to give advice or to try to teach or to threaten or warn. I mean, those are all just stumbling stones, and they don't lead to a heart-centered interaction. Now, the second category is moralizing. Now, moralizing, you basically shoot all over the person. You say, here's what you should do, or, you know, you shouldn't do that, or to judge and criticize or blame the other person. And the message there is that they're bad. The message is you're a bad person, if that's what you're thinking or believing or saying you want to do. And interestingly, the flip side of that, of moralizing, is giving praise. And that's kind of an interesting one. I often get pushback when I mention that as a stumbling stone. But the message of praise is that you're only good if I say you are. In other words, if I can praise you, then that also gives me the right to criticize you. So believe it, as strange as it may seem, praising someone in a problem area can be very counterproductive. And the third general stumbling stone is just being one-up. And in a way, the others also include this, but here it's a little more down and dirty. That is, the name-calling, shaming, labeling. The message there is, well, you're beneath me for all that. In other words, I'm making myself one-up from you by putting you down. Now, interestingly, the flip side of that is to sympathize and reassure the other person. And I put that in the same kind of category, because let's say that you're invalidating how they're feeling. You know, don't worry, everything is going to be fine. Well, the meta message, the message underlying that, is you're wrong to feel the way that you do. And the thing is that our feelings are neither right nor wrong. If somebody feels something, then that's what they feel. And if somebody's sad, then they're sad. You know, so don't be sad. Come on, buck up. You know, let me see a smile. Well, that's a very invalidating thing, and it blocks a heart-centered connection with the other person. Now, there are two elements to the counter to that, and that is, the first is an attitude of self-love. So this is how you see yourself. Now, by self-love, I don't mean quite the same thing as self-esteem, which is kind of more based on performance. So as Solazar mentioned, I like to compete in speech contests and Toastmasters, and sometimes I win, but most of the time, at some point in the contest, I'll lose. And in fact, I've lost probably more times than I've won. I've won a few contests and I've lost contests. And when I lose a contest, it doesn't feel that great. But if I based my worth on whether or not I can win a speech contest, then I'm not really seeing myself with an attitude of self-love. My self-esteem may tell me, well, I'm such a great speaker because I won this contest, But that's obviously a very fragile type of attitude, because then if I'm good because I've won a contest, does that mean I'm bad because I've lost a contest? Well, an attitude of self-love cuts through all of that. In other words, whether I win or whether I lose, I see myself as whole, perfect, and complete, and how I perform doesn't really affect that. And it's a critical starting point, because my attitude toward myself is really the thing that I have the most control over. Another aspect that's so important about this is that I can only love you as much as I love myself. In other words, I can't give what I don't have. If I don't have love for myself, then I don't have love to give. So I can only love you as much as I, or as little as I love myself. Now, the main barrier to self-love I have found is something called the inner critic. And the inner critic is that voice inside that judges and blames and beats you. Oh, that was such a how could you do that? And these are, I hear these things all the time, and the chances are that you may hear this too. You know, oh, you really messed that up big on that one. Now, notice that your inner critic has the same attitudes as the ones that I was listing that block effective communication. It judges, it moralizes, it criticizes, it blames. Now, there are many wonderful resources for dealing with your inner critic, and I certainly recommend working with that. There are three books that I found to be particularly effective. My favorite is something called Soul Without Shame, and it's written by Byron Brown. Two others are, one is called Embracing Your Inner Critic by Hal and Sidra Stone. They're the authors of the voice dialogue approach. And finally, of course, the classic is Healing the Shame That Binds You by John Bradshaw. And all of these are great resources for dealing with your inner critic. This is absolutely essential for what I was calling Q-tip, or quit taking it personally. You know, why? Because when I hear criticism, it is my self-love that allows me to not take it personally. If I don't love myself and I hear criticism, then often that criticism will connect with that inner critic, and my inner critic will join in with the voice of criticism, and I've gone unconscious and I'm taking it personally. So the communication skills that I've been talking about, they help go beyond that to validate the other person, which leads to the attitude towards the other person. Now, the great psychotherapist Carl Rogers had a wonderful phrase, namely unconditional positive regard, unconditional positive regard. And self-love, in a way, is equivalent to having unconditional positive regard for oneself. And when directed towards others, it's applying the same principle, having unconditional positive regard for the other person. And that means that I can see the other person as whole, perfect, and complete, no matter what they do or say. They could be saying things that I totally disagree with. They can be criticizing me up the wazoo. They could be criticizing someone else that I care about. But that doesn't mean that they as a person are bad or wrong. And I don't have to agree with anything someone says to see them as okay. And so after I can quit taking it personally, I can hear the pain beneath any criticism that I hear. Because we criticize others only when we're not okay with ourselves. So if I hear someone criticizing, whether it's me or someone else, then that is a person who's not okay with himself, and they're probably at the mercy of their inner critic. So what that means is that criticism is really just disguised pain or angst that's being expressed. So as long as I'm okay with myself and with them, then I can validate their pain. And I like to summarize this in the saying, don't take the blame, track the pain. Don't take the blame, track the pain. Now, helping someone track to resolution, we can apply all of those all of what I've spoken about by first avoiding the attitudes that block communication, and applying the self-love and the love of the other person to help them find their own resolution. And this is so important because, say, well, if I can't give advice or suggestions, then how do I help them solve their problem? And the answer is to track them, because the chances are most people really know what they need to do. It's just they need help in to be facilitated in discovering what's already inside them. So there'll be a presenting problem. And that presenting problem, it can be, you know, it's interesting. It can be either verbal or nonverbal. So the verbal might be that, you know, can you believe what, you know, Joe said to me at work today? Or, you know, my boss is just such a jerk. Or it might be nonverbal. Now, here's for our radio listeners. Here's a nonverbal problem. Did you catch that? I was frowning and kind of shrugging, but just not talking. Now, if you have a teenager in your life, the chances are that you hear a lot of you don't hear a lot. You see a lot of this. The thing is that whether it's verbal or nonverbal, if you see a problem being presented, you can validate their feelings, and you do that by tracking. And now, don't overshoot in the sense of, you know, if somebody, can you believe what that jerk did to me? You say, well, they're obviously angry about something, but the one thing is you should never tell an angry person they're angry. So you're really angry about this. I am not angry. Okay, never tell someone that they're angry. But instead, what's going on is, you know, so that happened and it was totally not okay with you. Okay, so that starts to unravel the feelings a little bit, but without overshooting. And now if somebody is giving you nonverbal silence, again, you can track the silence. You might say, so you're finding it hard to talk about, or there's something that's troubling you, and it's difficult to say. What that often does is, even with someone who is tends to be uncommunicative, that will start to open things up. You may even get a shrug, and you can track the shrug. And as you go on, sometimes the information will be unclear. So if somebody says, can you believe what my boss said? Well, you know, you don't know what your boss said. They haven't told you yet. And so it would be natural to say, well, what did they say? And again, use gentle probes instead. So something happened that was not okay. You know, no, yeah. And then as they get stuck, because typically if they're presenting a problem, a lot of times there's a place where they're getting stuck. And that's where gentle challenges, as I've spoken about in previous segments, become absolutely critical. And a lot of times, a gentle challenge might take the form of something like, you know, so even though this is a problem and you have no idea how to address it. So this has been going on for some time and you feel that you've had no choice but to accept it. Things like that. I refer back to the segment where I talk more about gentle challenges, and in upcoming segments, I'm going to talk more about gentle challenges because they're very, very important. And then the thing is that when you track someone like this, at some point they're going to have a lookup. And what the lookup is that they've said or indicated a willingness to come to a resolution because of what they've discovered inside themselves. And what you've done is, instead of telling them what to do, you've helped them discover it inside themselves. So to recap, you know, the attitude of the skills is by far the most important dimension that determines how any dialogue or interaction is going to go. I've talked about attitudes that block effective communication and the importance of attitude towards oneself, loving oneself and the other person, having unconditional regard for both yourself and for others, and how we can apply all of this to track to resolution. That is, but instead of offering advice or telling the other person what to do, we can help facilitate them to find their own solutions. So until next time, you have been listening to Speaking of Listening on Good Vibrations Radio with Solazar and Kirilani. I have been your host, Arnie Buss. Thank you for joining me. You can listen to Speaking of Listening every first and third Thursday at 5:35 right here on Good Vibrations Radio. And if you want, you can email me at the email ahbuss@consciousawareheart.com. And I also have a Facebook page. It's Aware Heart, all one word. Or you can follow me on Twitter at Effect5Comm, that's two M's, Effect5Comm. And until next time, remember, listen from your heart.
Everywhere you look, you can write a book on what's going on. Everyone you know's got to reap what they sow, be it right or wrong. There's a hole up in the sky. Oil and blood, tell me why, oh why. Terror struck, look at us. This isn't what we planned. You gotta take a stand. Don't forget that pride always goes before the fall.